I don't know what time it is for you State fans, but wherever you are, whatever time it is, I'd like to welcome you back to the For Whom the Cowbell Tolls radio show. I'd like to remind you, as every week, that we are powered by Bulldog Sports Radio and the high-tech Bulldog Sports Radio studios. And, you know, this week's an off week. We don't have any games to discuss as far as the Bulldogs are concerned. We'll talk a few topics. There's a few hot topics in Bulldog world going on this week, and a few announcements. But we're going to have on to the show this evening a one Mr. Bob Carskadden. Bob, how you doing tonight?
I'm absolutely fantastic. And now I'm glad you asked that. It's a good thing. I'm happy. I'm glad to be with you.
I'm glad you're here too, Bob. And I want to say, you know, obviously I know you've heard this about a million times since yesterday, but from the For Whom the Cowbell Tolls family, we just want to say congratulations on becoming the new station manager at Bulldog Sports Radio.
I appreciate it, man. I'm really excited to get rolling with this, and glad I get to hang out with you once a week too. That'll be fun.
I know. Maybe I'm seeing a future spinoff, some kind of, you know, Starkville beat or something. You know, hey, who knows where the future may take us on this one.
Starkville Academy alums got to represent, right?
There you go. We've got to have a newsletter or something we can like read. You know, like they do the old ladies do for church or something. So
we'll figure something out.
Yeah, we'll get it. But well, Bob, I really didn't have a format this week. I was going to go with a more roundtable discussion since we don't have a game. And I guess the first thing I was going to see or wanted to discuss was, you know, obviously Mississippi State had the big announcement yesterday about the Egg Bowl jerseys, and that, you know, Adidas had dreamed up this design. And I have to say, I'm a fan of them. Other things I would have liked to have seen, but I was going to ask you, what did you think about them?
No, I think they're great, man. I like them a lot. I had known they were coming and had heard about the design, hadn't got to see the actual mock-ups yet. But, no, I think they're really, really cool, man. There's some people who seem opposed to them and say, oh, I don't like gold. Gold's not our color. And I guess if you're going to wear them every week, I understand that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's cool. You know, it's the battle for the golden egg, to have those gold numbers on there, to have the Hail State on the back and all the new logos and stuff like that. I think they're really cool looking. I think they're really sharp. I've seen the players, several of them have tweeted how much they like them. And really, people make this point all the time, but it's accurate. If the players like them and the recruits like them, then, well, everybody else better like them too, because when it comes to it, those are really the ones that matter.
Absolutely. That's, you know, I was listening to SVP show a couple weeks ago. Well, it's been more than a few weeks, but when Maryland came out with their jerseys.
Oh, yeah, and those hideous things.
Yeah, and I mean, just brutal, brutal jerseys. And but he brought up a good point that, you know, it's something to catch recruits' attention, you know. And yep. I would kind of put State, you know, I don't know if right at the level of Maryland, up or down, whatever. But, you know, we're not a Florida. We're not an Alabama. We're not one of those teams that is going to get the five stars, you know, just automatically. So, you know, why not take a chance? Like you said, the players seem to enjoy them. I saw mm-hmm. the tweets you were talking about. And, you know, like you said, it's not an every game thing. It's a special game thing, and it gives them something to look forward to. And to me, it just basically says, hey, we're trying.
And I'll say this too. I think with these Egg Bowl jerseys with the gold and all the different new things they got going on there, I feel like the faction of people who don't like them is a lot smaller than maybe some of the people who are so opposed to the black jerseys. And maybe that one's a little more understandable because of MSU's poor record in the jerseys of death, as some have coined them. But I don't get the impression that, you know, because it's still, you know, you got maroon and white, and then you just, you know, you throw in the gold and change things up a little bit. But it's not some crazy radical look. It's not those Maryland uniforms where it looks like, you know, a pair of plaid plants ate a plaid jacket and threw up everywhere. It's just gross looking. But I think these are pretty, you know, while they're different, they're still pretty standard. Something that, you know, I think no matter what your taste is, you can find something to like in them, unless you just are so opposed to the gold, which for whatever reason seems to be some people's opposition to it. But I think it's pretty cool.
And I was wondering, do you think there'd be any chance maybe we can get Adidas to put out any kind of golden egg specialty gold tees for that game?
Gold teeth. We'll have to check into that. I do like, by the way, the gold cleats and the gold gloves. Those are going to be pretty sweet. If they were smart, and I don't know what all the rules are on this, but get a hold of some of those. Maybe, well, I guess they can't sign them and sell them. I'm pretty sure that's illegal. But at least just keep a pair or two of the cleats. Auction those off. I mean, it's a pretty cool little collector's item. Even if you wear it once a year, you know, they're still not going to be out there. I know Adidas has produced some of these jerseys for sale and various Egg Bowl shirts that are of a similar scheme, which I think is pretty cool. I like it a lot. I think it's a cool little, I don't want to call it a gimmick for MSU because I don't think it's quite that, but, you know, whatever it is you want to call it, I think it's pretty neat.
Yeah, and like you said, you touched on it, it really seems like the number of people that are against us is so small that it's really not even worth addressing. And there's always going to be, you know, no matter what you do, there's always going to be at least two or three people that are absolutely just against it. And, you know, you can't worry about people like that. And I'm thinking in this day and age, every team does it. And I like the way it looks. I think it was done. I'm not going to say classy because it makes, you know, like we're not uppity or anything. It's like, oh, this is very classy. But, yeah, I've seen worse. I mean, I have seen some of them like, man, this is, you know, this atrocious for, you know, the Nike ProFit uniforms and all. But, you know, overall I was pleased.
I'll say this too, my last note on the uniforms. I do know that MSU, they went through a couple different phases of mock-ups with Adidas. The very first one Adidas presented isn't what we're seeing now. So, you know, they did adjust and work together to really get something they thought was cool and not too outlandish.
Bob, I'll ask you this, and I don't know if you know this, but just kind of opinion, you know, asking your opinion. Do you think this is maybe a potential every-year thing now with the Adidas contract?
Yeah, I guess that hadn't really been addressed, but you get the impression that it maybe could be, or maybe even something that, you know, you get a new version of it every year. I wouldn't know if you'd keep the same thing. But if it goes over well, which so far so good, obviously I think the outcome of the actual game would affect that a lot. But, yeah, I think it could very easily be something that we see repeat in the future.
About to say, I think we'll see it again unless, of course, there's a, you know, like 31-0 beatdown, and then, you know, fans will burn every jersey that they can find for the next, you know, year or so. So
exactly.
Well, Bob, I know you were there. I was there last weekend to watch the South Carolina game, and in some aspects, it was a very encouraging game. Mm-hmm. Anytime you play with a team of that caliber, you're encouraged. But at the same time, you know, it's frustrating as a State fan to just not be able to get over that hump. But just kind of in general, what were your thoughts watching that game Saturday?
Well, I tell you what, you mentioned there were a lot of encouraging signs in that game. I think it comes at a really good time for Mississippi State fans that you enter into that bye week, and basically it's not an even 6-6 split, but with the bye week where it is, it's basically the halfway point for Mississippi State in the season, especially considering how tough the next five games are. I think it's a really good spot for Mississippi State to have a lot of good things to build on, to have some teachable moments from that game, but it's not just some soul-crushing loss where you're feeling doom and despair for 2 weeks. I think that's a good thing. You know, you look across the board, you start with the defense, which I think hasn't gotten nearly enough pub. The defense has played really, really well the last few weeks. You know, just one bad game against Auburn, and it seemed like it took people forever to forget about that. But they've adjusted well both from week to week, even from half to half in game, and really even from play to play. I've been really impressed with what Chris Wilson has done. And the linebackers, which were, you know, it seemed like 80% of the problem against Auburn, and how they ran that spread and really exploited that, they've improved a ton. And it kind of got a little bit more of a set rotation of guys that they want to have in there. Big credit to linebackers coach and co-defensive coordinator Jeff Collins. He's a guy that, if I'm saying Chris Wilson doesn't get enough credit, Jeff Collins certainly doesn't. He's almost never talked about it, and he deserves to be. He's done a good job with that group. And so the defense as a whole, I think you come away from that South Carolina game, and you hold Alshon Jeffrey to just that low, low output, one of the best receivers in the country, no matter what anybody else wants to say about him. He's going to be a first-round pick. all SEC guy. He's huge. He can, I mean, he can just absolutely kill teams. And Mississippi State really only gave up one play to him. And then Marcus Lattimore, and you hate the news that he's out for the year. You hate injuries of any kind, especially to a special player like that. And by all accounts, it sounds like he's a really nice guy, a good, humble person. That's what all the reporters in South Carolina have indicated. So you hate that for him. But a guy who is averaging 129 yards per game on the ground coming in, and then you hold him to, I don't have the stats in front of me, was it 36 yards, 39 yards?
Yeah, something of that nature. It's just unreal.
Yeah, an incredibly low amount for a guy, you know, almost 100 yards less than what he was averaging. That's pretty special for a defense to be able to do. South Carolina, weird as it may sound, had one of the more potent offenses in the SEC, even if that is kind of a weird statement to make. But then obviously you flip over to the offensive side of the ball, and, you know, while Tyler Russell wasn't perfect by any means, did have a really very, very strong game, I thought, very encouraging game would be the better way to put it. You see a lot of hope for the future. He did a lot of things right, and you kind of felt like the offense was in sync much more than it had been with Chris Relf as a starter. And that's not a knock on Relf, just the way the offense has gone. And then to be able to have some success against one of the best secondaries, not only in the SEC but in the country, and then one of the best pass-rushing defensive lines also, not just in the SEC but in the country. Mm-hmm. It's impressive to be able to, you know, you don't score a ton of points, but, you know, you were able to move the ball some, and were it not for a missed field goal or two or, you know, a drop pass here or there, we might be talking about Tyler Russell, the hero, who won the game against 15th-ranked South Carolina. So I certainly think there's a lot of good that Mississippi State fans can take out of that game going forward. And like I said, comes at a really good time in the bye week where, you know, you don't spend 2 weeks just feeling bad for yourself. And then you got hopefully another confidence booster coming up next weekend.
Yeah, and you touched on a good point. That bye week could not have come at a better time. I was actually looking at my SEC helmet schedule today at work, and I was looking at, like, I think Tennessee had a bye week in, like, week four or something. I mean, just to me, that's like almost a season killer in itself, having one that early, because then, of course, you're going to play, you know, you're going to play Alabama, and this year they had to play LSU, and it's just, I mean, unbelievable. But as far as Saturday goes, I think you're right in the fact that, you know, Tyler Russell did everything that I could ask a Mississippi State quarterback to do. He gave us a chance to win up until, you know, the last drive of the game, you know, sharp passes, you know, Tyler really making good decisions, more than I would expect most of the time from a sophomore QB.
Mm-hmm. And people got to keep that in mind. He's a sophomore. People tend to forget that about him.
Well, and it's weird. I was telling somebody that the other day. It's like, as much as Tyler Russell has been talked about, you'd think he's like a fifth-year senior. I mean, people have been just, you know, criticizing and talking about and praising this man, you know, since he even considered Mississippi State.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like you said, the defensive line of South Carolina gets a lot of credit for, you know, a few of Tyler's mistakes on Saturday, and like I said, not necessarily his mistakes. It's just, you know, if you look at that interception there at the end of the game, I mean, a man in his face, I mean, just drills him when he lets that ball go. And, you know, I mean, pretty much the whole game he's got pressure on him. And I thought for the most part he did a good job, you know, managing the offense and really watching the six quarters that he's been the QB, and it just seems like that running game is starting to open up for Ballard and Perkins, you know, and that's what's been key to me for that side. It, you know, and I think that's something they can build off of. Like you said, you don't see a South Carolina secondary every weekend, so mm-hmm. you know, being able to put up the numbers he was against him is not something to hang your head on. And I think on the defensive side, like you touched on, you know, a lot of people have still hanging their hat on that Auburn game. And really, when you look at the numbers since Auburn, this is a defense that has continued to improve, you know, has proved their worth, especially on, you know, big third downs, you know, making stops. I mean, that second half against Georgia was one of the better halves I've seen. Yeah. A decent, you know, I mean, Isaiah Crowell did nothing in mm-hmm. that second half. And it, you know, if it wasn't for the offense, just kind of our offense sputtering that second half, you know, maybe get back in that game. But like you said, I, you know, and I'll admit I was one of the people early on in the season. I, you know, damn, where, you know, where's Manny? You know, I miss Manny, but you know, and that's on me. You know, I didn't give Chris a chance to kind of get his guys into his system and let it, mm-hmm. you know, and just kind of let them work in. And, you know, you're going to miss guys like KJ and Chris, you know, at linebacker. But I think Cam and, you know, and Brandon and the rest of the guys have done a good job. And, mm-hmm. And again, to me, the bottom line is if you're in the game and if you have a chance to win up until the end, that's all I can ask. You know, you obviously yeah. want to win a few, but – you know, you and I both know that there's been plenty of times in past years where, you know, by the time halftime, you know, time they ran into the locker room, we were trying to see what other game was on TV. So,
yeah.
And the only other thing I was going to say, Alshon Jeffery, like you said, and the guy's an all-world athlete. I mean, I don't mm-hmm. care. I mean, he was the only person that made Steven Garcia look like a halfway decent QB for that long. I mean, because you just got to throw the ball up to him. He's going to get yeah. it. And I remember, you know, it's one of those things, you know, kind of like, you know, when an announcer says, boy, this guy hadn't thrown an interception, then he throws one. I'm sitting there thinking, man, I haven't seen Jeffery do anything today. And sure enough, they throw a little lob pass to him. And, you know, it is what it is. But overall, I can't complain about, you know, what I saw on the field.
Yeah, I think, like I said, there's a lot of good signs. Certainly bad things, too, but you touched on a couple important things there that, especially with Tyler Russell in the lineup, is that it opens up the run game a lot more. You know, just the threat of the pass is apparently what this team needed. And then the other thing, too, that I've mentioned this previously, but I thought was really important and impressive was his poise under pressure when he just basically got flushed out of the pocket. He only took one sack against a team that I think was second or third in the SEC mm-hmm. in sacks. And, you know, he just made smart decisions, whether it was throwing away the ball or, you know, throwing passes that he knew only his receivers could get to. I thought that showed a lot of poise and was a very good sign for the future, especially, you know, as a young guy, just a sophomore. That's pretty impressive.
And one more point before we move on from that game. I'd like to give credit to Mullen where credit is due. To me, leaving Russell in the game the entire time is a huge plus in my book. Just giving him the confidence, knowing that, hey, if you make a mistake, I'm not going to yank you out. And then all of a sudden you're starting from square one. It's, you know, I'm going to let you go out there. You're going to make your mistakes. You're going to, you know, you're going to make the big plays, but win or, you know, whatever you do, you're our QB and just have at it. I think that's a huge confidence booster for a young QB like that.
You wouldn't have put Ralph in at all?
Well, you know, I can see, and I'm going to completely straddle the fence here, but I mean, I can I can see the argument for it because Chris is going to give you the different dynamic, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, I look back on it and I think, man, I just don't, you know, I see the point of people saying, well, why didn't Chris go in at all? But at the same time, when I watch the game start to finish, I don't know where I would have put him in. You know, I've told people this, you know, a good bit. I'm just not a huge fan of the rotating QB system. I've never liked it. I didn't really care for the whole Dylan Favre, wham, bam, shaboodle, reverse pass.
No, I'm with you on that.
But, you know, and you touched on it. I mean no disrespect to Chris Ralph and saying I think Tyler's our QB. I think Chris is a stand-up guy, and, you know, and I wish him the best, you know, whether he plays any more this year or where his path leads him. But, you know, I think if you're Mullen, you got to – bottom line is you got to put in and keep in the guy who gives you the best opportunity to win the game. And I think Saturday that was just Tyler Russell the whole way.
I will say I agree that Russell definitely needs to be the starting quarterback and get the majority of the snaps. But I just, you know, to me, and maybe it's a matter of preference, but I think that Russell or that Ralph, you know, when you seem to have somewhat of a lack of playmakers on offense, is too talented of a guy to completely keep on the sideline. You don't want to bring him in as your starter. I think Russell has showed that he deserves to be that, and that the offense runs a lot better with him as the full-time starter, but yeah. Maybe you can have Russell and Ralph on the field at the same time.
That's what I was going to
ask. Especially, yeah, when you've got that, you know, first and goal on the four, that's a situation where, yeah, Ralph can get you an easy 3 or 4 yards, run the option with him, you know, maybe a little a play action or something like that that, you know, people got to bite a little bit because he is that, you know, that running quarterback and he's good at that. But those are the only kind of situations where I might bring him in just for, I don't want to say trick plays, but just, you know, for a short change of pace within a drive, not a full drive of Chris Ralph.
Yeah, that's a good point. I've wondered if, you know, Mullen has anything like that up his sleeve for future weeks. And, I mean, you can't tell me a defense wouldn't croak if they come out and see Chris Ruff and Tyler Russell standing next to each other in the backfield, or, you know, Chris Ruff lined up at, you know, H-back or something, comes in motion and takes a option handoff or, you know, anything like that. And like you said, he's too good of an athlete not to get on the field, but, you know, it's hard to see from the stands where he goes in at this point. But, you know, that's why I'm not getting paid a couple mil a year to make those decisions. You know, hopefully Mullen's got that figured out.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, we'll move on from the QB speak a little bit and kind of talk about this team overall. You know, obviously, you know, let's just speak frankly. This is not the season that I think Bulldog fans thought it would be to this point. And let me preface that by saying, you know, you got to look at the schedule too. We've played an LSU team that's absolutely just unbeatable. Let me just go ahead and say, let's just say what they are. They're a beast.
By anyone other than Alabama.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there should be an asterisk next to that and it'd be a picture of angry Nick Saban. But,
yeah.
You know, outside of them, you know, I just don't see anybody even touching that team. And, you know, other than that, you know, one play at Auburn and you look up and it'd be a whole different season. But, you know, it is what it is. You're 3-4, and I think as a State fan, you still have options. You still have opportunities to get to a bowl. And what do you see maybe the rest of the way out with this team?
Well, yeah, you know, I think you've got a really good shot at a bowl game. It would be surprising. I think no matter what happens, whether you're above or below this, if Mississippi State is not 5-6 going into the Egg Bowl, I'd be a little surprised. Because that means you either lost to Kentucky or you beat Alabama or Arkansas. I don't see any of those three things as likely. Although I'll say this, I wouldn't be totally shocked by a win against Arkansas. Mississippi State actually, if you remember, obviously had a great, great game against them in Starkville last year. And if that game was in Starkville this year, you might like MSU's chances a little bit better, but you feel like maybe with Tyler Russell, you've got a bit more of an opportunity to keep up with Arkansas, even though they did a good job of it last year as well. And then you look at Arkansas's offensive line, had a lot of troubles. Mississippi State might be able to exploit that, but I don't think you're going to find a lot of people predicting an MSU win there, even though it is, you know, somewhat possible. But then Kentucky and UT Martin, you're obviously penciling in as wins. Those are two really bad teams. And you come into to Ole Miss where, you know, I think it sets up for a huge, huge Egg Bowl where, you know, MSU's bowl hopes are on the line. You know, win the Egg Bowl, you're bowling. If you don't, then both teams are sitting at home. And as bad as Ole Miss has been and has looked at times, I don't think anyone can predict that game with 100% confidence. If you're an MSU or Ole Miss fan, because from the outside looking in, yeah, Mississippi State should win that game. But those of us who have been around it know that you can't predict the Egg Bowl.
No,
it doesn't matter who the good or bad team is. Especially, and I'll say this, that it's good timing that Ole Miss is having some down years during this. But the amount of trash talk Dan Mullen and the rest of MSU have sent Ole Miss's way, I can't imagine how angry I would be if I were an Ole Miss player or fan, and knowing with all those 2 years of anger built up inside of me, if I could keep my heated rival who I hate so much from getting to a bowl game by beating them, I could lose every other game that season. If I win that one, there's a part of me that's pretty happy. You know that Ole Miss is going to be gunning for blood in the Egg Bowl. So it's going to be a tough one to predict, but, you know, if, you know, forced to make a choice, I'm going to say MSU wins just based on how each team has done to this point. But it's a tough one to call Though I will say, ultimately, I think MSU goes bowling. I don't know how good of a bowl that turns out to be. I'm hoping for Nashville, fingers crossed.
Yes, absolutely.
Preseason, I was hoping for something in Florida, maybe even New Orleans. I'm a warm weather guy.
Yeah.
I loved going to Jacksonville last year. That was absolutely fantastic. If we could have got more Jacksonville or Orlando or Tampa. And, you know, I'll certainly take New Orleans in January. That wouldn't have been so bad either. But I just don't I don't know how I feel about Memphis or Birmingham. Nashville will be a little bit more fun.
Yeah, I saw, you know, everybody these days has a bowl projection. I saw one of them had us in the Music City. And I'd be honest with you, I wouldn't hate that. I've got some family there. You know, we used to go there a good bit when I was in college. I love it up there. So I wouldn't call it a consolation prize. That's a nice vacation for me.
No, I can get down with it.
You know, and talking about the Ole Miss game, you know, there's, I mean, the level of trash, and let me preface that with saying that I have been one of the worst. I mean, you have been,
I'm not going to lie.
I mean, I mean, hell, there'll be days when I just get bored and I'll be like, you know, I hadn't done anything. Yeah, I hadn't done any teaching on jokes in a while. And to me, at this point, to me, it's not as much about hating on Ole Miss as it is just kind of, you know, building camaraderie with other state fans. And I know Ole Miss fans don't see it that way. They're all, you know, probably pissed off, or at this point they've realized that they shouldn't be following me anyway. So, but, you know, talking about how the schedule unfolds, leading up to that game, I agree. I think I just don't see any other scenario where we're not 5-6 unless something disastrous happens at Kentucky. You know, every year we go to Arkansas, and I get so excited. Let me ask you before I get into this. Are we playing in War Memorial again?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
I'd have to double-check that, but I'm almost positive.
And that's what I thought, too. But, every year we go up there, and I'm thinking, you know, maybe this is the year. Because if I remember right, we've never beat them in Arkansas, correct?
Accurate.
And it's always, you know, and there's been some years I'm like, my God, you know, just make it stop, Daddy. Just cut it off. And then there's years like 2 years ago when I'm thinking, I mean, we're going blow for blow with them, and Dixon's running wild, and, you know, the offense – you know, looks wonderful. I'm thinking, man, we got a shot. And, you know, that game always scares me. And especially with it being late in the year. And, you know, again, this year, you know, most people, when they lose a Ryan Mallett, they fall off, you know, significantly. But, I mean, you look at what their QB has done there this year.
Tyler Wilson has been an absolute dud. I mean, I thought he was going to be good, but he is outdone even my expectations.
And, you know, in the little bit we saw him last year against Auburn, I thought, you know, I mean, this kid is obviously talented, but, you know, it's one game. I mean, that doesn't mean anything. But, man, I have watched him, like you said, I've watched him play this year, and, I mean, he is the real deal. I mean, what year is he, by the way?
He's either sophomore or junior. Okay. I want to say sophomore, though.
Man, that's scary to think about. I was kind of hoping he'd be a junior.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, you kind of hit on something there that you talk about a lot. MSU seems to always have a chance, and especially last year was an absolute fantastic game. I was down on the sidelines for both of the overtimes, and I was right there. I mean, that fumble by Vic Ballard, literally, I mean, it almost hit me as it came out of bounds through the end zone. I mean, it was absolutely crazy play. Mm-hmm. The thing to remember, if Mississippi State beats Arkansas, it will be the first team in the SEC West not named Ole Miss that Dan Mullen has beat at Mississippi State. So it would be, for various reasons, a pretty monumental win, beside the fact that it's at Arkansas and they're a very, very good team. And it would certainly help out Mississippi State's bowl hopes a lot and probably give them some more confidence, not that they'll need it going into the Egg Bowl.
Yeah, and you brought up a good point. And I'm not going to say, you know, we as state fans are blinded to that fact, but truthfully, I just forget about it. And then, you know, of course, Ole Miss fans, Alabama fans, other, you know, Auburn fans bring it up, and I'm thinking, man, I'm not gonna sit here and say that makes Dan Mullen a bad coach, because it doesn't. And it, you know, you look at the SEC West, okay, LSU, they've been good since I was born. Alabama, see the first one, you know, Auburn wins a national championship last year and has had a good team for the last couple of years. And, you know, and then Arkansas the same. So, I mean, you look at those four, and I'm not saying, I'm not making excuses for the fact that we've lost to them or the fact that we've lost, you know, lost a couple of close games, but, you know, it is still a hump that we've got to get over eventually. I mean, it's not, I don't think it's something that's at the front of any Mississippi State fan's mind, but, you know, most of us, if we beat Ole Miss, you know, we'll forget about all that anyways. And, but, you know, I don't think you ever want to be, you know, at the beginning of a year, you never say, man, I want to be 5-6 going into that Egg Bowl. But looking at it from the point we're looking at it right now, you know, I'm kind of excited about the prospect of it just because, you know, it sets up a must-win situation. And in my opinion, you know, if you can't beat your rival, you know, maybe you don't deserve to go to a bowl. I mean, maybe that's kind of a bold statement, but to me, you know, it's going to be a big game atmosphere, you know, and obviously you're going to get their best shot, you know, because they're not going to a bowl. And like you said, I mean, we've been watching this game since we were little. I mean, they could trot out, you know, one team could trot out 11 players on the whole team, and it's going to be a close game. It doesn't matter how bad one team is in the game. It's going to be close, you know, for the most part, you know, except for Crooms last year and such. But, you know, I think you're going to get their best no matter who they have on the field that day. But like I said, if you can't beat them, then, you know, maybe we shouldn't be in a bowl. And I welcome the challenge. I know Coach Mullen will welcome the challenge and look forward to beating them and then, you know, bringing the Egg Bowl back to Starkville and headed to hopefully Nashville.
Yeah, well, Mullen's been welcoming that challenge for a couple of years now.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, I would imagine he'd like to keep the Egg Bowl around. He has fun running around campus and the state of Mississippi with that thing.
Well, Bob, I won't keep you too much longer. I know you're obviously a very, very busy man with your brand spanking new job over there at
Bulldog
Sports
Radio.
Yeah, I mean, you need to you got to shuffle some things. Have a girl in the background say, "Oh, Bob, your next appointment's coming up." You know, just but you know, before I let you go, first of all, I want to thank you for coming on. I know you you were going to be here anyways, but you know that's not the point. And you know, it's always fun. You know, we get to chat and especially chat about Mississippi State. I got to ask, what, you know, since we're off this weekend, what's the big game you're looking forward to?
Man, there's a few of them, aren't there? This Auburn LSU one is getting pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Especially with some of these going-ons, I guess you could say, down in LSU with some of these suspensions for, you know, various rumored reasons, most of those being recreational drug related. I'm vaguely interested, actually, in Alabama-Tennessee. I think it has the potential to be a decent game. Maybe because no matter how good you are, and Alabama is really good, you're going to have those games where, you know, you don't quite play your best, and there's a team able to maybe capitalize on that. But those are two big games in the SEC that I'm pretty excited to watch.
Any interest? I'd actually forgotten where game day was going this week, and I saw they're in Michigan State for Wisconsin, Michigan State. Any interest in that game, Bob?
Yeah, actually, I'd say it should be a pretty good one. One of the more fun games to watch, I would think. You'd probably see a lot of highlights in that one, if I had to guess.
Yeah, and I you know, I thought coming into this weekend, you know, you're just going to see another LSU, you know, roll through. And it's not a knock on Auburn. I think Auburn has done very, very well this year for what they were expected to do and really the struggles they've had passing the ball. But, you know, LSU is what it is as far as being just a talented team. And you know, I work with a lot of LSU fans, and they're all coming around asking, "Oh my gosh, did you see what happened to Matthew? Did you see what happened to Ware?" And I'm sitting there telling them, "Come on, guys, you know you got a 5-star backing him up. I mean, what, you know, there's going to be the next Tyrann Mathieu that comes in and, you know, has 4 interceptions." And
exactly.
I mean, you never want to lose a guy for whatever reason they're being suspended for. But you know, I still just it may be a little bit closer of a game, but I still just I don't see. Auburn having the weapons to roll with LSU. And I don't really know much about the quarterback Auburn starting this week. Do you know who that kid is?
Well, not a whole lot about him other than that he, you know, they're kind of hoping he can control the offense a little bit. This is the word that every coach uses is we want him to be a spark to the offense. That seems to be the go-to phrase. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many times I've heard Mullen say spark. I feel sure Chizik is saying the same thing. But, yeah, we'll have to see. We'll get a better look at him this weekend for sure.
Well, Bob, I want to thank you again for coming on the show tonight. Any parting words, parting shots, any shout-outs to friends listening at home this evening?
A shout-out to Keith Jasper and Kellen Farmer. If you're going to ask me to give some shout-outs, I'll give them to those guys for keeping me in business and for doing great stuff here at Bulldog Sports Radio.
Absolutely, and I'll thank those guys as well for you know, they've given us a show here and let us be a part of something that, you know, I was really excited about. And obviously I'm excited as a friend of yours and knowing your stuff to see you back out there and getting after it in the Bulldog Sports community. But for you and for me and for everybody listening out there tonight, this is the Crystal Method, also known as Mark to people like Bob and such that know me in real life, signing off this evening for the For Whom the Cowbell Tolls radio show. Again, we're always powered by Bulldog Sports Radio. Have a good one, Bulldog fans.